Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show, FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday. What's led to this Friday morning? Once again, text line 251-343-0106. If there are any outstanding texts, we'll try to get to those in the closing segment, time permitting. Joining us now, the returning champion of the Jeff Porter Show, and I know he's glad to be back down here our way, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, how are you?
I am doing good. What a week.
Yeah, well, I would say at least you're not in the House. I guess my question to you first off, to lead off, I mean, Senate, no drama Senate, I mean, at least at face value, but is that a fair assessment? It does seem things are moving about as they were expected upstairs.
Yes, and as fast as things are moving and as much as things are moving and as many different pieces of important legislations were getting done, it is methodical and organized and to your point, you know, pretty free of drama, and that's a good thing.
Now, we haven't seen no surprises. I've been harping on this PSC bill. No one saw coming. At least I didn't, and I follow this stuff real closely. The timing was intentional timing, I think. Wait until after qualifying to really try to blow the trumpet on this. But, it does seem like the Senate's not, at best, they're lukewarm to it, but probably not even that.
Look, the Senate is doing what the Senate does, which is being deliberate and reviewing and looking at things before moving anything, and listening to our constituents as well and their concerns. And so I expect us to continue to do just that, which is be the deliberative body and take our time to review, to talk to our constituents and to make, slow, methodical decisions moving forward, and especially on something this big.
Well, in this, and here's the scuttlebutt, and you're probably more aware of this than I am, but there could be a second bill, and it's something of a compromise. Is there enough time, 15 days, 14 days, whatever's left, to do something, do an end around, or do a compromise bill?
You know, if the will of both bodies is there, there's, technically there is still enough time. I mean, we can pass a completely new piece of legislation in 5 days, procedurally. But that has to have both chambers on the exact same page with the exact same language. And that's, that's certainly the exception rather than the rule. So having 14 days in the legislative session left is certainly enough time. But, I certainly don't see anything moving quickly at this point. But technically, to answer your question, yeah, I think there's still enough time.
Well, this is one of those things, and not to harp on this bill too long, but maybe we see when the BIR, when the budgets are done, maybe that's when they try to move it to the floor, and maybe it's a little bit of a less of a path of a resistance.
Well, whatever other bill that has yet to be introduced and yet to be circulated, whenever it makes its appearance, members have still got to digest all of that, and so. That's why I say technically you could do something in 5 days, but members have their own priorities. We do still have the budgets. We've got other important pieces of legislation out there that still have to kind of go through the process that members are focused on, and this may not be their top priority. And so you got to give them time to look at things. You can't just spring it on the Senate or any member and expect something this big to move quickly. It's just, I don't think that's realistic. And so we'll look at it when it, whatever the other thing is, comes out, and we'll give it its due consideration.
Well, how is that? I mean, that seems like that would be frowned upon. Here we got this hot potato bill that's mildly controversial, depending on who you talk to. And we're going to move it ahead of the line in front of all these other things that have been waiting, maybe even pre-filed before the session started, and give it priority. I just don't think goes over real well.
It certainly does, and you've got to answer the other underlying question, which is what's the rush, right? And so I think that's yet a question that hasn't necessarily been answered yet either. And so you know, we'll see. I mean, this is certainly not necessarily a priority of mine. I'm happy to look at anything and talk to anybody that wants to talk about whatever. And my constituents certainly know that and call me regularly to discuss a whole manner of different things. But, you know, it just didn't get off to a good start, what has been proposed so far, obviously. And I think the name of the game is let's slow down, take a breath. And what are we doing? Why do we have to do it so fast? What's the impetus for it? And what is this, you know, is this the solution to the problem that everyone purports to say is out there?
Let's talk about your other bill, or your bill, the library bill, SB 26. It got a hearing in the House. It gets through the House. Where are we at on that?
You know, it's ready for the House floor, and in enough time to really get consideration. And so I'm hopeful that will happen in the near future. I expect that to move along. I mean, look, this isn't the first year for that particular piece of legislation, and there's been tons of drama and conversation about libraries for a multitude of different reasons. And all this bill does is really put the control with each individual library board back in the locale, right, in the city, in the county, with the authority that is delegated to the library board from the city council, for example, remaining with that city council so that they can appoint and remove library board members should they need to, and at their discretion. And I think that really moves this conversation back to where it needs to be, which is with each individual city and county and each appointing authority, just like we do with so many other board appointments or other at-will appointments across the state. There's no reason a board member for a library should be any different.
Well, and then I suppose the four calls element of this was something you were against.
Well, look, four calls is a legal term that is tied to employment, and I think that we really run the risk of, you know, a litigious board member, you know, deciding that they're now going to sue the city over a volunteer position. Again, not an employee-employer relationship. And so I just don't think it's appropriate. In committee, Representative Jones, Sam Jones, and Representative Danny Crawford both asked, you know, hey, listen, can we provide a reason? And I said, sure, I think we can come up with that. And so I've already drafted an amendment and have that circulated to those two individuals in particular, and they seem, you know, at least Representative Crawford got back to me and said he thinks it's fine. So, you know, it's a process. It's the legislative process. You got to work with your colleagues in both chambers, and we'll continue to move through that process, even on the floor and through final passage. But, you know, the end goal here is to say, hey, what the Fairhope City Council says is what should happen in Fairhope is what should happen in Fairhope, and what Bessemer says should happen in Bessemer should happen in Bessemer. It's just giving the elected officials the authority to manage their own business in their own city, and most have asked for just that.
The other one I'm getting a bunch of correspondence about, let's call it that. The Chesteen bill, the sound science, and where you have, I guess, a standard that state environmental regulations cannot be stricter or harsher than what the federal government has in place. How do you feel about that? What do you make of that?
Yeah, I had some concerns early on about it. It was in my committee, actually. And so I held the bill for a couple of weeks early on, and then I had some conversations with those in the environmental activist community, if you will, and then I had some conversations with those who are, we'll call them environmental regulators, right, the state employees that do that kind of stuff, and then with the business community. And, you know, I all too often, you know, it's our job to find a compromise and a middle ground on some of this thing. So there was an amendment added on in my committee that got me a little bit more comfortable with the piece of legislation, not entirely. And so they added the amendment in committee, ended up voting no on it in committee. I think I was the only no vote in committee, or one of the few. And then it moved out of committee and onto the floor. And I was able to get to the point where, after having all of those conversations, I was reasonably comfortable with the balance it struck between businesses needing to have some regulatory certainty in instances where we lack a state regulation on something, and, you know, still having the flexibility at the state level to regulate, you know, those things which the state feels it's important to have state-specific regulations on. So I think it struck a balance in the end. I know I've got, you know, detractors on both sides of that, but my job is to try to balance all of those interests and come up with something that works the best for everybody. And I think it was a reasonable accommodation overall.
Well, and there's some circumstances. Now, I know this is not a direct comparison, but, you know, the Baldwin County, especially, it's just different. You have different environmental concerns. Maybe the federal government isn't one size fits all. Does it really apply to? And you can even say the mud dumping to some degree, where, you know, the state needs its say in what's going on. And I think that's where maybe, you know, beyond just the run of the mill tree hugger or environmentalist activist, but knowing that there are circumstances where the federal government really doesn't quite get to where it needs to be in certain localities.
Sure, and where the state has those regulations already or the science to back it up, those can still govern. And so, that's, you know, again, just like so many other pieces of legislation, it's important to, I hate to sound like this, but it's important to read it, right, and understand it. And if you don't, to talk about what the words mean on the paper. And so we can, you know, we still have state environmental regulations. It certainly didn't do away with all of those. And so that's a good thing. And that's, again, where I think some of that balance is struck. And for those out there that are, you know, worried about, obviously, the mud dumping, of course we would not have passed this if I thought in any way, shape, form, or fashion this would impact, you know, that piece of legislation that obviously I worked very hard to make sure was drafted correctly and got passed quickly.
The other thing, and I was out last week when this really was the big topic, the solar farm. It's not in your district, but it's close enough. It's in Stockton, and you're – it seems like you're against it, but kind of walk us through that decision.
Yeah, first of all, congratulations. And so we'll say that. But yeah, that piece of that issue, you know, kind of popped up on everybody's radar really quickly. I looked into it pretty fast, and you know, certainly not something I'm necessarily supportive of. And put a statement out to that effect. But the important part of that statement I put out is that, you know, the legislature has already passed, you know, the ability for Baldwin County to do certain land use in the county. And essentially that's zoning, right? Most counties don't have that. So the tools already exist in the Stockton area and that particular planning district to stop this if they want to. And so the answer to, you know, you said correctly, it's not in my district, but to the people in Baldwin County and in that particular planning district is, if you don't want this and you want to stop them from doing this with their land, then you need to look at zoning. And that is the tool that can be brought to bear and be brought to bear quickly that is completely citizen driven, right? It is one of the most democratic functions we have. Is the folks get to vote on whether in a referendum on whether or not they want zoning, and they can see exactly what the zoning will look like prior to being, you know, prior to voting on it. And so I would encourage the residents of that particular area to think long and hard on whether or not that's something they would like to do.
Well, you're a student of sort of the Baldwin County and property rights. And, you know, whenever there's a piece of property and people oppose something like a subdivision or whatever being put on it, the governing authorities act accordingly in response to those constituent concerns, and they go to court. And in court, maybe you get an unfavorable decision, you know, and it becomes part. It becomes on the local government authority to defend it in court, that ordinance or whatever it may be. Is there any threat of that here if these guys do lose and they tell them no, and then they take these guys to court? I mean, is this that totally a different set of circumstances?
Yeah, I think this is a different set of circumstances because at this time that area is unzoned, right? There are no land use regulations to speak of as it pertains to what type of use there is. There just aren't any. And that's because the people in that area historically have not wanted that. And that's a perfectly reasonable position as it relates to private property rights. But now you have this uproar of, we don't want this person to do this with their land. That's a particularly, you know, reasonable position as well. And again, it's not up to me to decide whether this is appropriate or not. It's up to the people of that area. And that's where I get, you know, the nerd in me comes out about land use stuff. It's up to the people in that particular area to decide whether or not they want to regulate themselves with a particular, you know, with land use through zoning. That's up to them. And so they can decide that, and they can decide that pretty quickly.
Even retroactively after the land's bought and the deal's made and, okay, well, now we're going to tell you no. Does that pose a challenge?
Not necessarily. I mean, look, you know, the zoning is applied at the time of referendum, okay? The zoning is proposed prior to the referendum. Once the petition is in with the 10% of the names, you know, signatures from the particular district is in, there's an immediate moratorium to stop any, you know, zoning or land use until the zoning actually takes place. And so there's a whole process that's laid out of this. And so, you know, if this is something that those folks want to stop, there is a method in place, has been a method in place, and it's citizen driven.
So we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but I always appreciate you making time for us, and we'll do it again next week.
Sorry that got a little weedy, but we'll talk next week.
It usually does. State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Flores Show on FN Talk 106.5.